Well, good morning, Trailhead Church. We're excited to be here this morning. Today's a good day to be in the Lord house. So let's do it. Let's do it. Many of you guys know that this past week I was in Ohio at my friend's church. I'm on a board up there at his church. And it was really cool because to see what they're doing, it's completely different than what we're doing. Even though we're in America, but in Ohio, in rural Ohio, what they're doing is really kind of astonishing. It's different, unique to any other type of church that I'm familiar with, but it's cool. What I mean unique is they're planting churches in rural areas, and it's really astounding, but it's awesome to see how the Lord works in different geographical locations and to know that God's unique design is really true. I mean, the unique design of who you are, your purpose, the plans that God has instructed for you to have, they're there. And so to know that here in North Carolina, there's something unique about you, that you're here. Gloria, I don't mean to point you out, but I just met Gloria, and she just moved here. And I was like, Gloria, you just moved here. There's a purpose for your life here, you know. There's a purpose for what you're doing, and to recognize, man, God's put me in a place called there, and I need to make myself aware of that and make myself in a position to receive the instruction from God so that I'm not just aimlessly walking. So but this past week, I mentioned to you guys that I was going to go up there. My friend's church has a house, an old 1800s house that's beautiful, and there's this, it's real warm and cozy, and I plan to pray this week. So today's message is really Cassie Oaklish's fault. If you want to blame someone for the message, if you don't like my message, blame Cassie. Cassie came up to me a couple weeks ago and said, hey, I want to talk to you about prayer. So then we started discussing prayer. And then in all of that, I bought her some books. And then I bought me some extra books because I saw these and I was like, I want that. And so I told her that I'd give her my books when I was done, highlighting and everything, because I wanted to dive into it. I got into a book. I can't let go right now. And so this message is coming out of that. It goes along with our Christmas series. I haven't really explained the series that well to you, but I'm not talking about the world of Christmas. Granted, I love tradition and I love family and the gifts and the Christmas tree. I love those things. Those things are fun, but that's not Christmas. But the reason and purpose of Jesus Christ coming was to tell you, I do the will of my Father. And in doing the will of his Father, guess what? He's giving us an example to follow. And he would, in the secret, go and commune with our Father in heaven. He would go and talk with him. And then in the public life, he would show what he was learning in the secret. Hell, his relationship was coming out in the public. And that's what's so important for us to follow. That's why Jesus came. So that we could have a relationship with our Father and be an example of what God has intended us to do and be. And this is a beautiful picture. And that's what I want to bring out this morning. I want to talk about prayer and that need of prayer. I love a quote that I stumbled upon, John Ortberg. He said, the goal of prayer is not to get good at praying. The goal of prayer is to live all of my life and speak all of my words in the joyful awareness of the presence of God. The joyful awareness of the presence of God. Guys, I want to be in the awareness of the presence of God everywhere I go. That's why Jesus actually gave us instruction in Luke 18 with the parable of the persistent widow. I mean, he talks about the importance of praying and always being in that position of prayer to never give up. To never give up. This is not a persistence where you just keep twisting the arm of God. No, that persistency is that God begins to develop you in that prayer. Okay, great example that I can give is actually Pastor Stephen, our worship pastor. Man, he came seven, eight years ago to our church. He was not a worship pastor then. I love him, but he can tell you right now, the thought of him singing would have been crazy. The thought of him leading with a guitar would have been crazy. He was learning. But in the same time that he was here at our church, I was praying for a worship pastor. Man, I wanted the worship pastor. I got to tell you guys something. Thank God for Stephen, because he is actually my miracle evidential prayer of what I prayed out in my secret place to see the public come out. Stephen has my heart. I threw a wrench at him this past week. I said, hey, can you sing this song? He goes, well, it's not on the set list, but I'll do whatever you say, Pastor. I'll honor you. And I'm like, thanks, man, but seriously, you don't have to. I don't want to be like that guy. If it's hard, don't do it. He's like, no, we will make it happen. And I was like, yes, a guy that has my heart, it's not like I'll do what I want to do. And he's kind of like, well, hold on. Man, God's helping me through this. I'm ministering and praying, and in my prayer time, God's like, I want this song sang. And it was a song we just finished with. I wanted to sing that again, nothing else. I want us to grab a hold of that concept of recognizing nothing else matters. I mean, even in the scriptures, we see that Paul writes to Philippians in chapter 3. It says in verse 7, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. God, this is that moment you recognize, man, I need to separate myself from these things that are of no worth and value. I need to separate myself from the garbage so that I can actually bring in all the good stuff. You know, prayer, what does for me, it refines you in the fire. You know, even in praying for my worship pastor, right? Our worship pastor for this church, I'm praying and God's refining me. There were some selfish things I wanted, right? I want a worship pastor that can play all the instruments. I know some guys like that. I'm a little jealous of those guys. I've seen them. They're like, take off the guitar. They go over to the piano. They leave the piano. They go over to the bass. I've seen worship leaders lead from the drums. Man, that's crazy talent. But you know what? God refines. And no. For Trailhead Church, this is what I'm talking about, and the uniqueness of who we are. For Trailhead Church, Stephen will lead from the guitar. And you know, and that's awesome. And in the prayer moment, God's refining. He's refining. And you know, isn't it, thank God for all of us in this room that we know that we're going to be different in 2020. That indifferent, meaning and we're going to grow in Christ Jesus. I don't want to be the same. Each year, I want to continue to grow in my walk with God. Every year, I want wisdom bestowed upon me. Not just because of gray hair that gets bestowed upon me. I want spiritual wisdom that puts you in a position where you say, man, I'm growing. I don't want to be the same I was. That's why even Paul is saying in Philippians that, man, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him. I want to share in his death so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. He's talking about experience. Experience is a future tense moment. I want to experience the things of God. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to be stagnant. I want an open flow where God can flow through me and flows out of me. I want God to be able to use me for an instrument for noble purpose. But that instrument for noble purpose comes from the refining power of prayer. That's where the precious metals come out of. That all the nasty, crazy things, they get burned up. But if you allow God to refine you in the fire, and those prayer moments with a prayer without ceasing, to remember that God doesn't come into your life, right? Hold on, hear me out. God does not come into your life forcefully. He comes in with an invitation. You have the ability to invite him into your circumstance. Tom and Hillary are very close to me. And so I can come to their house now and I can knock on their door and then just open the door. Right, that it would be rude. They know me well enough, but for the decency side of things, I don't just walk in, right? I knock, then open the door, and I woo, you know, woo. So I can come into their house because why? Because they have given me that right of invitation. So there are moments in my life where God interrupts me, because I pray for God interruption. I give him that ability through invitation of my life. I allow God to interrupt. It's a disturbing interrupt that I love. It's not a disturbing where I get offended by the things of God, because I'm in a relationship with him that I allow him to speak to me in this way. that I allow God to come in and say, no, no, no. Hey, stop. Stop. I need you to do this. Don't do that. And my prayer, God interrupts me. Whoa. What are you praying? I got homework for you this week. I want you guys to take your prayers and I want you to examine them. I want you to put a list of what are you praying about. You know, put them in order. What do I pray about the most? Oh, I pray about this. You know, I'm just putting in a fill in the blank. I'm not going to give you any kind of notion or ideas, but I'm just throwing out there. What are you praying about? Do those prayers point to you? Do those prayers point to others? Are those prayers that are selfish prayers? Are they prayers for others? Is it a prayer where it's a prayer of faith, or is it a prayer of lack? Is it a prayer of despair? No, there will be seasons where you will pray out of fear. There will be seasons where something abrupt comes in your life and you didn't know it was going to happen. It blindsides you, and moments in, you just come to God. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm not talking about those prayer moments. I'm talking about the continual prayer, the lifestyle walk that you have with God, the continual prayer where every single day you begin the morning with Jesus and you end by saying amen. That you end that with the whole day was a prayer. The whole day you never stopped. You just continue to talk. I went to church camp back in the day, man. Robert Eugene Fazilor III, that was my friend. And his cousin Pascal Kreitz. They were French, obviously. So the three of us, we'd hang out all the time. All three of us agreed that we were going to be pastors someday. And sure enough, we are. And we were young. And I remember admiring Robert. He was older than me. And Robert was older to me than by 3 or 4 years, actually. And I remember him walking around camp mumbling. Now, nowadays, we'd give him drugs. Come on, you just got all PC. I can't believe he said that. I'm just telling you, that's exactly what we're doing nowadays. And I went to Robert, and I said, Robert, you look silly. You're walking around all the camp, and everyone keeps looking at you funny, and you're mumbling. He goes, man, I'm talking to Jesus. Coming from like a 14, 15-year-old kid, and he's like, I'm talking to Jesus. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, all kinds of good things. And immediately, I was like, I want that. You know, like I want that because he had a grasp on a concept that I just learned this past week. But I'm able to look back and see Robert's life. And I think, man, he had a concept grasp, but I fell in love with. It's actually the book I'm reading by Andrew Murray. And it says, man's prayer on earth and God's answer in heaven are meant for each other. It's 2 + 2. Right? 2 + 2 = 4. It's an absolute. No matter what you guys do, we all know that. So going into a conversation with God, a communion with Him, a continual open dialogue that's happening, you have to recognize that your prayer on this earth is meant for a response from heaven. That God will respond to you. That God will talk to you. Now, I'm not telling you, some of you sitting in this room, it's like, yo, tell them, you make sure. Some of you guys are like theological dogmatic about this. You make sure you tell them that they may get a no. Right. Okay. Right. You may get a no. That's what I'm talking about with the refining of the fire. Of when you go in a continual walk with God, God begins to refine you in the fire. That He begins to burn off some of those selfish desires, some of those ideas that you have, these notions of the way it should be. Because you've got to go beyond human wisdom. You got to stop belittling the power of the Word of God. You got to begin to recognize, you know what, I need to step out in faith. That void that's before you, and you got to realize, you know what, I've got to have the power and the understanding of God's power in my life in order to be able to step out into those voids that are dark. We know that faith is not by sight. It's believing and trusting in God. So in your prayer time, God begins to stretch you and refine you where you begin to see the voids, but you're no longer scared. You don't see the vastness of the void. You see how wide and how deep and how big the love of Jesus Christ is. You begin to see, no matter what the circumstance, God's for me. Who could be against me? You begin to speak the word. The word comes out of you. You guys, you know, John chapter 1, it says that Jesus, the word, right, was with him. The word is of God. This is important. It's so important because we realize that Jesus goes on to say that I do the will of my Father. How does he do the will of his Father? Through the time he spent in prayer and the secret life. In Luke chapter 11, the disciples actually take note of this, and that's what's so beautiful. They come to him and they begin to see the connection between his public life and his secret life of prayer. This is beautiful. This is beautiful because prayer has been around for ages. But they're taking note of that when Jesus said, I do the will of my Father. And the things that he was doing was on a magnitude that was incomprehensible for them at the time. So in this moment, you see in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Man, Jesus always went to a certain place. He was intentional about that secret moment. This is my prayer. This is where I go to pray. It's my certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. That's the moment they woke up. They realized he went to a certain place. He went to the place where he could have communion with the Father with no distractions. And he's sitting in those moments where he's learning how to be in the public, how to operate in the public. And so he says, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. You know, prayer is recognizing our need for God's help and guidance, and it surrenders to his lordship. When you surrender to his lordship and authority in every area of your life, things change. You begin to look at things differently. You don't operate out of fear and anxiety. You don't get concerned about tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own troubles, right? Today, you're in the house of the Lord. Today, you have the choice to rejoice because today is the day the Lord has made. You got to begin to trust God, not to give up. It's not about what you want. You begin to realize what he wants. You say, oh, he begins to correct the wants to the needs. Hey, this is what you need. And you go, oh, that's so good. It is my middle son, Cohen, in the room. Cohen! Praise God. All right, here we go. Cohen, he brought a Christmas list of things to us, a Christmas list. We began to buy them like good stewarded parents. Let's buy them early when they're cheap. Then he began to change them. Who does that? Cohen. Immature Christians do that. They begin to tell God, I need this, I need this, I need this. And then when it doesn't happen, they get mad. And God's sitting there going, no, 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 this is the part. I'm telling you, the persistent prayer refines you. It doesn't correct God. It doesn't twist God's arm. It refines you to realize what I need versus what I want. Because if God gives you what you need in the beginning, you're going to be a little disappointed. Cohen might be a little disappointed. Guys, this is important that we wake up to this, that we wake up to the fact that God is for us, who could be against us? That there's an invitation here of free will where he says, hey, if you knock, it will open. If you seek, you will find. Guys, if you want to hear something from God, you will hear something from God. It's a matter of faith where you recognize, this is what I want to do. I want to have a relationship with God.